Good evening.
Good evening.
These past few weeks, I have been mentioning frequently a quotation "The vine consumeth not its own grapes," and I would like you to take that quotation very seriously into your consciousness, because at this stage of your unfoldment, you will have to come face to face with a truth that at first no one relishes. Eventually they come to love. And that truth is that God never gives us anything for ourselves. God never blesses me, and God never blesses you. God never blesses one race or one nation or one religion. There is no such God. God is spirit. God is the spirit of the universe. And you do not know God aright until you know this. God was a God before Abraham was, a God before there was a Hebrew people, a God before there was a Christian people. And God will be God if no Jewish people and no Christian people survive. And God is universal. And just as God has provided a sun in the sky that shines on all lands and all seas, so the grace of God is meant universally for all men. And therefore, when a Krishna receives a revelation of God's presence and God's grace, it is not that some man may be lifted up and worshipped as if he were some special son of God, but rather that through him the knowledge of God may be given to those of his particular world and age. When a Jesus Christ appears on earth, it is not that Jesus Christ may walk around with health and wealth and bounties set aside for mankind, but that God, appearing as the consciousness of Jesus Christ, may be a light unto his world. And he made it very clear that his world never began and will never end. My words will never pass away. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee unto the end of the world. And that could not have meant the immediate Hebrews who were hearing him. And certainly it could not have meant the immediate pagans and so-called Christians to whom Paul was speaking. This meant the world of men throughout all time. And therefore, when the message of the infinite way is given to me, it is not given unto me that I will go up and live on a mountain top or by a seaside and live and move within myself, enjoying this great fruitage of the message. It never could have been given to me for such a purpose. It was only that through me, this message could be brought to the entire world. And the proof of it is that I have been sent around the globe over and over and over again. A transparency through whom this particular message can reach the human consciousness prepared for it. Ah, but then you may believe that through me you are to receive a message which is to be a great blessing to you and probably to your family. And at first it will appear so. But do not be fooled by appearances. If you have been prepared by the Spirit to receive the message of the infinite way, it is only that through you it may be spread out into your world. It may start with the world of your family. It may start with the world of your community. But it will only end when through you the message is finding its way into human consciousness universally. Because each of us is so individual, we each play a different part in the message, in letting the light of the message shine through us. And you will discover that there are those who have a take group and may invite in members of their family or friends, and in that way the light goes out into human consciousness. Others are further developed and may become practitioners or teachers. There are others who aid in the financing of the different activities of the work and thereby send it out around the world. Each of us plays a part, and no one of us chooses which part we shall play. But whatever is given to us as our particular fort, that is the manner in which we function in this message. Now, eventually, there are those who, perhaps with greater discernment than others at the moment, perhaps greater preparedness, begin to really understand the principles that have been given to us in such a way that we can partake individually in a greater measure to bring divine consciousness to human experience. Now, I must explain here what I mean. You already know that in our humanhood, we are a branch of a tree that is cut off and withers and dies. And only those who receive at some time or other in their lives the Spirit of God receive their immortality, their grace, their divinity, because without it we are the natural man of whom Paul spoke. We are the creature who knoweth not the things of God, receiveth not the things of God, is not under the law of God, neither indeed can be. Only as you receive the Spirit of God within you, do you become sons of God. Otherwise, you are the branch that is cut off, or you are the prodigal son. Now, just think that we have a world of more than 3 billion people on the face of the earth, of whom it can be said that they are the branch that is cut off, and they're not under the law of God, and they're not being blessed by God. They are not receiving the grace of God. This isn't difficult for you to understand, because in this particular age, you can look out at the people of China and other parts of Asia, India, Russia, and you can see how desolate the scene is. And if you have discernment, you could look right out over the United States and see the barrenness and the souls of most of its people. You could look into its bookshops and see the fewness of the spiritual books available, or that are even called for. You could see that with all of the great scientific and industrial development, there has been a lack of spiritual development. And then you would know what it means to be the natural man. You can see in the relationships between management and labor how devoid of God that relationship has been, to what great extent there has been man's inhumanity to man. You can see in the wide separation of government and governed how desolate that relationship is. How far and apart we are as a nation of people from any interest in or sympathy with those who govern, and vice versa. All of this for one reason. Until the Spirit of God is admitted into our consciousness, we are under the law of self-protection, self-justification, the law of self-preservation being the first law of human nature. But as the Spirit of God comes into our soul, we come into the ability to love our neighbor, near neighbor and far neighbor, as ourselves. As you have heard, motherhood and mother love is not motherhood and not mother love until into your soul there comes the realization that all children on the face of the earth are yours, and therefore you have an obligation not merely to raise, provide for and educate your children, but likewise to set aside something for the raising and the education of those children that the world would say are not yours. When the Spirit of God enters your soul, you will know that to love only your own children is a very selfish type, a finite type of motherhood and mother love, and that now the Spirit of God enables you to take into your soul all of the children of the world. And as we have brought out, the patriotism that says, my country, right or wrong, my country, is a sin in the face of God, because the true patriotism is that which comes to us when the Spirit of God dwells in us and we begin to recognize that our neighbor is not only Christian and Jewish, Oriental, Occidental, white, black. We are all of the household of God, all members of one family. But this is never revealed to anyone on earth except through the Spirit of God that dwelleth in man. Now, when the Spirit of God makes itself evident in you, and you come to know that you have a responsibility toward this entire world, you begin to wonder, how can I fulfill my obligation? Of course, no one on earth has enough money to provide for and educate all of the children of the world. Not even any nation on earth has enough money to maintain and sustain all of the impoverished nations of the world. Therefore, we must find a different way of serving, blessing, helping, and raising up the people of the world. Do not believe for a moment that by tithing your income with the world, or giving it 20 or 50%, that you are doing very much in the world. Do not believe, even if you had spiritual healing power as the Master had, and if you could heal multitudes, that you would be doing very much in the world. You wouldn't. You never can reach the 3 billions, either with your money or with your healing gift. There is only one way in which that can be accomplished, and that is through accepting the responsibility of spiritual realization. When I first received spiritual grace and came into this work, it was in the way of individual healing work, the healing of individuals. A few opportunities were given to me to do healing on a larger scale, and then finally to be brought into some management and labor difficulties, which were beautifully solved and which work is spreading. But lately, the opportunity has been given to us on a wider scale to bring spiritual realization to human consciousness. Many of you know that last fall, the Chevrolet Automobile Company had its sales managers convention at, or rather clinic, at Michigan State University, and that the book The Contemplative Life was recommended to sales managers and salesmen of Chevrolet automobiles throughout the states. This is carrying the spiritual message of salesmanship into a wider part of the world. Then 20 of America's very large corporations formed a corporation called We Unlimited. And they produced a course of instruction for executives, all the way from chairman of boards down to managerial levels, a written course, and translated also onto moving picture film for use among all of the great corporations in the United States. And in this course, there is the statement to the effect that For recommended reading, all the writings of Joel Goldsmith, because many of the principles taught in this course are based on these principles. So you see that the Spirit of God, in another form, is carried out into a wider form. There are other ways in which this message is being carried through the government. And so, this that begins with improving my personal life and spreads out into benefiting the lives of those who are led to me, gradually spreads into the industrial world, the governmental world, the religious world. You know, of course, that last year we received the request for Infinite Way books for 400 lay ministers of the Episcopal Church. They had experimented with these books in hospitals and found them helpful. All right, this brings me now to my point, and that is that everyone at your level of consciousness should be engaging in world work. Whether you do it in a united group or whether you do it individually at home when alone is not the important thing. The important thing is that it is done. Now, there are special occasions when it might be very helpful to unite with 2, 3, 5, or 10 on some particular activity. For instance, it may be brought to your attention that some catastrophe is about to happen in your community. It may be a spread of disease, a tidal wave, a hurricane. And this would be a call to you to leave your nets immediately, to leave your household affairs, to leave your business affairs immediately, to retire into a quiet place and there begin to have a contemplative form of meditation until you felt still enough, quiet enough, to settle into an absolute meditation without words or thoughts, saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," and then being silent and receptive until you feel the Spirit of God upon you or hear actual words from the Spirit announcing to you that all is well. It may be that 6 hours later or 12 hours later or the next day that very same appearance may cause you to go into a second meditation or a third until that situation has been entirely met. Or it may be that you will feel better if you would call one or two of those whom you know to be functioning at this level of the Infinite Way consciousness and ask for a meeting of two or more to come together and unite in such a meditation. Now, we are going through a period of world history that is fascinating. I wouldn't be surprised that it is more interesting to be alive at this particular time of history than at any other time in world history. At least this is one of the occasions when the world is going through a major transition. It may be the final transition, that in which material sense is completely overcome and Christ consciousness comes upon the world as a universal bestowal. At least to me, it appears that this is what is happening, because as I look out at most of the evils, no, let me say, at most of those events that the world is calling evil, I see them not as evils, but as the breaking up of evils. I see the end of many of the evils of the human mind that existed in the past centuries. You notice on the face of the globe a great deal of religious upheaval. But do you also note the unitedness that is taking place among the religions of the world? Do you notice how barriers, religious barriers, are being broken? In England, the Roman Catholic Church and the Church of England has agreed upon one Bible instead of two. The Pope has agreed that Christ is incarnate in you, even if you are one of those lowly ones in the prison that he visited. Limitations are being broken down in that church as never before. And of course, this is equally being met by breaking down of the sense of separation in Protestantism, and even the breaking down of superstitious religious teachings. As when one minister says we will discover that we can get along without God, meaning, of course, that false God that has been presented to the world. And your bishop says, we will probably discover that we can get along without a Bible, certainly meaning the Bible teachings as they have been presented in the Orthodox world. This is all a breaking down of superstition and ignorance. And while a good deal of the world calls this evil and fights it, you know that it is the breaking up of evil, the breaking up of ignorance, the breaking up of superstition. In Germany, a very high official of the Lutheran Church told us that we have nothing left to give our people, and we are seeking for some new light. Well, there's much more of this going on in the religious world that indicates the breaking up. Racial discord, all of the racial discord will eventuate in the breaking up of prejudices, ignorance. Shortly before statehood was granted to Hawaii, members of Congress were saying, why, if we grant statehood to Hawaii, they'll be sending Chinese or Japanese up here to the Senate. Well, we have two senators from Hawaii to Washington, and one is Chinese and one is Japanese, and it seems that the Senate has survived it. Oh yes, this is an age of the breaking up of ignorance, of prejudices. This is a breaking up not only of the type of capitalism that did not adequately care for its workers, but it is also the age of the breaking up of the type of unionism that would not take care of management and cooperation. It is a breaking up on both sides of old encrusted patterns of self-preservation as the first law of human nature. More and more into the medical world, the spiritual world is being called. So we know this then, that it devolves upon those who have received spiritual light to be transparencies through which that light reaches the world. So that as it comes to your individual attention, that there is some form of so-called evil taking place or about to take place, evil of health, evil of weather, evil of human relationships, please remember that it is a call to you as an illumined soul to leave your nets immediately and retire into a meditation until that particular situation has been met. We have been warned recently that the state of Iowa in the United States may be completely destroyed between now and July by conditions of weather. And regardless of the source of this information, it behooves everyone to whom this is brought to leave their nets and begin immediately to bring the activity of the Christ to the situation, because temporal power is not power in the presence of the Christ. In thy presence is fullness of joy, fullness of peace, fullness of harmony. But only in the presence of Christ realized. Lately we have been informed that very soon the entire southern part of California is to be sunk beneath the waves like Atlantis. Well, humanly, there may be some situation arise that could bring that about. Certainly it has happened in many parts of the world. Nothing is impossible in this nonsensical scheme of human life. But temporal power has no power in the presence of realized Christ. And therefore, those who are brought into that particular situation must, of course, bring to it the realized Christ. On the night before the opening of the World's Fair in New York, a man had the audacity to say that no power in heaven or on earth can prevent the stall in that will prevent the opening of the World Fair. No power in heaven or on earth can prevent us being out on the road at 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m. they were not out on the road, and it was prevented. And it was prevented with specific work during which the realization came, there is no power in heaven or on earth greater than I am. And so it proved there was no power greater than I am. I am is infinite power, omnipotence itself. I am omnipotence itself. I am in the midst of me. I am in the midst of you. I am in the midst of he and she and it. And besides I am, there is no power. And Isaiah recognizes this. Is there any power beside me? I know not any. I, the Spirit of God within me, is omnipotence. And so it proved to be. Last year, a strike was to have been called in Hawaii at midnight. All negotiations broken off because they could not succeed. And our help was sought just about 12 hours before midnight. Within 6 hours, the strike was called off, and the settlement was agreed on before midnight. In the presence of the realized Christ, temporal power is not power. But then, and this is the miracle, there must always be individual you or me to bring that realization about. In other words, without Christ appearing as the consciousness of Jesus Christ, the light would not have come to earth at that particular time in that particular way. If you have called upon a practitioner for help, for physical, mental, moral, or financial help, and have received it, it was the realized Christ in the consciousness of that practitioner that did the work. Without the realized Christ in individual consciousness, the human mind would go right on sick and sinning and dying. Only the realized Christ in individual consciousness makes none power of what had been temporal power. It is for this reason that you cannot separate Christ from Jesus. You cannot separate Buddha from Gautama. You cannot separate the spirit from individual man, for these are one. And when you recognize spirit and man as one, then you have the omnipresence of omnipotence and of omniscience. And you need no words and you need no thoughts. You need the silence of receptivity, the listening ear. And then, whatever truth has to be voiced, God voices. There must be a listening consciousness. Be still. Be still. Don't think thoughts. Be still. And know that I am God. I in the midst of you, closer to you than breathing, I am God. Be still. In quietness and in confidence, be still. Stop taking thought, because by taking thought, you cannot change anything in the world. You probably will only make it worse than it is. Do not take thought. Be still. Listen for that voice. Say to the Father, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And when he uttereth his voice, the earth melteth. And it is this that keeps us from becoming egotists and believing that we humanly have power, whereas we are but the instruments or transparency through which and as which the power can act in proportion to our stillness and our quietness. Never forget that the Master says, if I speak of myself, I bear witness to a lie. It is not I that do the work, the Father within. And this will ever keep you humble enough to know, even if you stop a storm or a war, it will make you humble enough to know that you did not stop it. You were the transparency through which the activity of God reached human consciousness. The Master healed the blind, but he never said that I healed the blind. He said that the glory of God may be made manifest. Don't forget that the glory of God may be made manifest. And how can we be instruments through which the glory of God be made manifest? That is the all power of God, by being still and knowing that I, in the midst of me, is God. That which is closer to me than breathing, the very Spirit of God within me, that which formed me before I was in the mother's womb. His Spirit is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick, but not without His Spirit being upon me, not by virtue of any words that I know or thoughts that I think, but by virtue of His Spirit being upon me, and then the right words and the right thoughts will come through. At this stage of your infinite way development, unfoldment, or state of consciousness, you are responsible for every picture that presents itself to your sight or hearing. You may not pass by on the road. It is given to men, the human world, to ignore the troubles of their fellow travelers, especially if they are of a different land or a different religion or a different race or a different color. It is not so given unto you. The grace which you have received from God was given to you not for you. It was given to you as the fruitage of God, which the world is to eat. Take, eat of my body, drink of my blood. Give up your grapes to the world. You are a wonderful vine on whom more grapes will grow. You are spiritually fed and spiritually clothed and spiritually housed, and you know it. Therefore, let your grapes go out into the market, into the world. At this state of your unfoldment, you owe a debt to God and to the world. And that is that you do not pass by on the other side of the road, but that you take note of every discord, every inharmony, and bring to bear the activity of the Christ. Be a transparency through which the Christ may dissolve the appearance. You do nothing, and you do not necessarily have to think anything, but you must be still. You must be still for an instant, and let His Spirit flow through you to the appearance and dissolve it. You may not pass by on the other side. You are at a state of spiritual unfoldment where you have already been told to leave your nets, not to go anywhere or to do anything, but just not be concerned about your nets in the face of appearances, but rather cease your fishing for a moment and be fishers of men. And how? Just by recognition. It only takes a moment. The blink of an eyelash, of an eyelid. The blink of an eyelid. That you may realize that in the presence of Christ, temporal power is not power. They have only the arm of flesh. Think of what you would think if I went away to some happy place to live and enjoyed the fruitage of all that God has given me and ignored you or the world. And then think that that is what I think of those of you who would accept God's grace that has been given to you through this message and then not return it to the world. In part, this is giving the first fruits unto God, because you cannot serve a God whom you have not seen and do not know, except as you serve man whom you do know. And then you hear the Master say, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So your only way of serving God is in serving man. The only way you have of neglecting service to God is to neglect service to man. Now it is very good and very right that out of our material resources we share something with those who have less or nothing. But please remember that that is a minor part of our spiritual development, because we all must acknowledge that we have but very little in the way of material resources to give in comparison to the needs of the world. But I have meat the world knows not of. I have spiritual realization. And I can give you living waters. I can give you meat. I can heal the multitudes. I can feed the multitudes spiritually. And feeding them the spiritual word, the material needs will be met by a way that only God knows. Each of you must remember that at this stage of your infinite way unfoldment, you likewise have meat, a substance the world knows nothing of, but which you can share, and in the manner taught by the Master, silently, secretly, sacredly. You do not have to let anyone know that you are praying for them. In fact, you must not let them know. Your benevolences must be done in silence, sacredly and secretly. You must give living waters but let it be known only to those who have the spiritual discernment to observe it. And be assured of this. You have more to give individually than any entire nation has to give. For the nations can give only of material resources which are limited, finite, but you have living waters. You have spiritual meat. You have spiritual wine. Spiritual bread. You have the word of life. You have the Spirit of God incarnate in you, and you know it. And above all, you have a moment of silence. And this is the most precious gift in all the world. A moment of silence. So that in that silence, the voice of God may thunder. You have emptiness. You bring to God every day an empty barrel, an empty consciousness, praying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Fill me today with all thou art. Fill me with thy soul, with thy spirit, with thy grace. That my presence on earth may glorify thee. That my presence on earth may show forth thy glory. The glory that I had with thee in the beginning, before the world began." The original glory of divine sonship. The function of the Spirit of God in you is set forth in the statement, "I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have life more abundantly." And you might ask yourself every once in a while, why was I born? To what purpose have I come to earth? And then if you listen, you will hear the voice say, "I am come that ye might have life. That this world might have life." Ye is not just you. Ye is all human consciousness. "I am come that human consciousness may be fulfilled with the Spirit of God. Filled full of the Spirit of God. That the kingdom of God may come on earth as it is in heaven." You are not only on earth, but of the earth, until the moment comes in which you realize that the Spirit of God dwells in me. You are the man of earth until the realization has come to you that as men or women, we are nothing. Nothing, less than nothing. And it is only as the Spirit of God touches our consciousness that we are awakened, enlivened. We are the walking dead until the Spirit of God touches us, and we know that through us, this Spirit must be allowed to flow to all mankind. And the manner of it is to realize that in the face of every appearance, whenever a human appears to us, we are to lift up the Son of God in them and realize God incarnate in them. Whenever an appearance of sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, disaster presents itself to us, We are instantly to realize that in the presence of God realized, in the presence of the realized Christ, temporal power is not power. Whether that temporal power is appearing in the form of sin or disease or death or accident or war, we are to realize, or nature or weather, we are to realize that in the presence of the realized Christ, temporal power is not power. In heaven or on earth, there is no greater power than I am. Thank you.